You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the opportunity. We live stream our second gathering and also re-air it into some correctional facilities. Would you give it up for those watching online right now and maybe watching the correctional facility? So glad you're here. I have the chance to communicate probably one of my favorite, you know, we all have messages we like. We all have bents, things that are passionate about. And really, this is probably in my wheelhouse. I finished a doctoral dissertation 5 years ago, and it's on this type of a topic on how do we equip the church to have influence in a community? How do we go outside the doors? How do we? You're the church. How do we shut the doors on a building and make sure the people that used to be in the building are making an impact building the kingdom outside a building? And we're talking about influence, and really we're talking about how do we take the good news of Jesus. And how do we become, you know, the Bible calls us salt. Salt of the earth, light of the world. The Bible says we're to be as ambassadors. An ambassador and salt and light, those are like words of influence. Those are words of go make disciples. Those are words of make, don't lose your power. How do we gain influence? How do we take the good news of Jesus and or how do we reproduce the Jesus in us? In the next generation. How many want to know the church is one generation from extinction? If we don't take the Jesus we know and impart it into the next generation, who can impart it to the next generation, then when we die, so does the gospel and so does influence. And so how do we, and so today we're going to talk about, we're looking at the life of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was a forerunner. He was prophesied in the Old Testament that I'll send a messenger ahead who will prepare a highway, a road for Jesus, prepare a way for Jesus. And John the Baptist, last week we talked about, I hope you grabbed your camel skins on the way out. Grab some of the locusts. We have extra locusts if you want it. They didn't give that out at this campus. We gave them out at College Road. They slighted you guys last week. We had camel skin outfits for all of you so that you could look like John the Baptist. No, last week we talked about how John the Baptist, the messenger, that he wore things on the outside and his diet was different, but he was so different, people sought him out to go, what is it about you? And last week we talked about the messenger. And we live in a culture. Anyone here read the evening, watch the evening news? Anyone flip through CNN or Fox app and go, oh my gosh, our world is a unique place to live in right now. We live in a world where if you say something different than someone else, they cancel you. Almost they hate you. They can't tolerate you anymore. And last week we talked about how they'll know your disciples by your love. You can speak in tongue of men and angels, but have not love, you're a clanging cymbal. How does the church gain its voice back? How do we gain our ringtone? In fact, John the Baptist, I'm a voice crying out the word, and that word voice is the Greek word phoné. It's almost like a Canadian word, phoné. And so how do we have a ringtone that's so loud and so clear, the world stops and goes, I've not heard a ringtone like that before. How do we have that influence, church? That's the question we're asking this month. And last week we talked about John the messenger. Today I want to talk about John and his mission. I want to look at Mark chapter 1. Let's look at this text, and today I want to unpack it, and I hope in the few moments that we have today that something will resonate in your spirit, and something will go deep on the inside, and something will shift, and you realize, oh, I'm called to do this. This isn't for pastors. It's not for, like deep spiritual church people. It's for all of us. Jesus' people. Mark chapter 1, it says, this is the good news about, how many want to know any news about Jesus is good news? It's the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, look, I'm sending, say sending. I'm sending my messenger ahead of you and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, or the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and he preached that people should be baptized to show that they've repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Now, I want to look at this story of John the Baptist. Now, I'm going to unpack this for a second. It says he's a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And then it says the word prepare again. Those are two separate Greek words for prepare. Two separate words. It's not like the author, you know, we read it and go, oh, man, that guy's lazy. He should have picked up a thesaurus. He probably could have put a different word in there. If you read it in the original Koine Greek, the language that the original hearers heard it, it was two separate words. So I want to talk about three things that like John the Baptist, like a messenger or a forerunner is what they call him, someone who's called to go before Jesus. How many of you believe that you might be, or let me say it this way, not believe, you might be the only Jesus some people see this week. Now, I'm not calling you little Jesus as a little Christ, but here's the reality. You are, and you might be, the only Jesus with skin on. To some people, he's some weird guy way out there. He lives in some far-off land called heaven. Well, guess what? You might be the only reflection of Jesus on earth this week people see. What do they see? So three roles, a forerunner. Three roles, someone who prepares a way for Jesus. Three roles we play. Number one, like John the Baptist, we are sent. Say sent. We are sent. In Mark chapter 1, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. Next week, we're going to talk about the message. What was John's message? What did he say? What do we say? How do we live our life? But there's times you have to use words. But look, I'm sending. And that word sending is a Greek word apostello. It's where we get the word apostle from. Here's an interesting study for you this week. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the number of times you see the word disciple. It's there, a disciple, someone who spends time with a master teacher. And Jesus picked his 12 disciples. And so people that followed Jesus prior to his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension to heaven, they were called disciples. But from Acts on, you don't see the word disciple. You see the word apostle. We're all sent ones. And we're called to go make disciples. Who then go make disciples, because we're sent ones. See, we could be of the tribe, well, I just want to know a little bit more about Jesus, a little bit more knowledge and be more of a disciple. Guess what? We can learn as we go, but the reality is we're sent. The word apostolic means to order one to an appointed place. It's someone who's appointed to go. Someone who is appointed to represent and go for someone else. That's the sent one. But Jesus said this after his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven. Therefore, go. You go make disciples. Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. We are sent. To go where? To make disciples of all nations. Matthew, Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel, the word gospel is the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're sent to bring attention to that good news. See, every one of us has two things. We have a testimony and a witness. A testimony is what God has done in our life. Anyone had God do something in your life? And a witness is the attention you bring to that testimony. Last Sunday night, we had our annual vision meeting, and Christian was here. Christian is probably a late 20s, early 30s. She goes to College Road. She's like 6'6", got a D1 scholarship for miniature golf. No, D1 scholarship for basketball. She's tall, 6'1". Last year, this is the power of an invite. Last year, someone invited her to church. She'd been sharing with some friends. Her marriage wasn't strong. Someone heard and thought, I'm going to invite Christian to church because I think if she meets Jesus, God can heal her marriage. She was also invited by her doctor to come to church because they had a 2-year-old son. Christian and her husband have a 2-year-old son. At 2 years of age, all he'd ever spoken was ball and mama. So his verbal quotient wasn't very high. They thought maybe he's on the spectrum. They weren't sure. And so she comes to church. She accepts Jesus Christ as her personal savior. She gets water baptized. God starts doing a transformation in her work. Her husband still doesn't know Jesus, far from God. And one day she's listening to something on Christian television, and the person prays that someone would be healed if they're on the spectrum, or God would release a mute spirit if they had a mute spirit, which means someone who's never talked. And she goes, maybe that's my son. She prays for her son, and 5, 10 minutes later, her son crashes into mom. How many of you know 2-year-olds don't walk into the room, they crash into the room? You know what I'm talking about? He's got dinosaurs, and he's like, rah, and he crashes into mom, and he stops and goes, oh, hi, mom. Just want you to know I love you. He'd never said those words before. He was healed instantly in his house because of a praying mom. Huh? Now follow me. Oh, she was invited to church by someone who said, I should invite someone to church on Easter. We're all sent. Now, what's the part of the world God's sending you to? In John chapter 20, it says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Acts chapter 1, you'll receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll receive power to be my witness, to bring attention to what God has done in you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we unpack it like this. We believe there's 3 spheres God's called us to. The first one God's called us to is what we call our front porch. That's our city. We live here, and if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to us. That we are called, we're a city church. We're called to reach our city for Jesus. Because guess what? Here's the deal. No one else can reach our city but those who live here. We're the missionaries God sent here. I love a verse that's not on the screen here that Pastor Rob just said, Mark, one of my favorite verses. It says this, the Lord, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, write this down, look it up later on. The Lord now chooses 72 other disciples. He sends them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he plans to go. I don't know if Jesus went to all those towns he sent those 72 people to. But I think he went there because he sent people to represent him to go there. If you live here for such a time as this, guess what? God wanted to come here, so he sent us to impact our city. So we call that our front porch. We call, that's Jerusalem and Judea. That's our, Jerusalem would be like Fairbanks or North Pole. And Judea would be like the North Star Borough. And so, but Judea, Samaria would be the state of Alaska. We call that our backyard. We were just overseas on a missions trip. We call that our beyond. But friends, we don't want to fly over our backyard to focus on beyond and not deal with Alaska and what God's called us to do here in Fairbanks and around the state of Alaska. That's why we have a church in Nanana. Pray. This week they're doing a VBS during spring break, and the school has a few events, and they planned the school events to make sure they didn't conflict with the church's event. How many of you want to know you're making an impact in the community when the school plans around the church's calendar? May that happen in Fairbanks. May that happen in North Pole. So our front porch, our backyard, and our beyond. That's why we're city church, state church, and global. We love missions. We believe we're called. Now here's the deal. Jesus flipped the script, because in the Old Testament, you know, Solomon built the temple. Remember the temple that Solomon built? People from all over the world came, and they would pay tribute to Solomon and his wealth, and they came to see what God had done. Because in the Old Testament, is what they call the centripetal system. Centripetal force pulls everything in. And it's a come and see. Just come check out what's happening here. And so that's why people would make their trips to do all the festivals and all the celebrations from Leviticus. They'd go to Jerusalem and they would do it, they'd celebrate the Passover, celebrate all these feasts. They'd go to Jerusalem. Jesus flipped it and said, it's not a centripetal system and it's a centrifugal. I want you to go. It doesn't revolve around a temple. It doesn't revolve around Jerusalem. It doesn't revolve around a place. I'm empowering my people and putting the Spirit of God inside of them to go. We're sent. Look at me, friends. It's not us 4 no more. We're sent to make a difference. John said, he's a forerunner. I'm sending a messenger ahead. So the first thing is we have to understand, like John, we are sent. Number two, like John the Baptist, we build roads and bridges to people far from God. They might say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Yes, it does. Let's unpack it for a second. It says, look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, verse 2, and he will prepare your way. Now, that word for prepare is the Greek word katazuo. I know you could all say that better than me, so I just said it real quick. But literally, that word means to furnish or equip or prepare, but it carries with the idea to build or construct or erect. To build. So prepare your what? Prepare your way. And that word way is literally to prepare a path. It's the same word. Broad is the road that leads to death, but narrow is the path that leads to life. It's that same. I'm sending you to prepare a narrow path. I'm sending you to prepare a, build a bridge, erect a path. That's what John the Baptist did. I want to show you something I developed as I was working on my dissertation. I don't talk about this much, but here's a picture. Because 80% of the churches in America are declined or going backwards. Since COVID, only 16.5% of churches are back to pre-COVID numbers. We're one of those, praise God. But many churches haven't recovered. But 80% of churches in America are plateaued and dying anyway before COVID. And so I had to pick a problem, and I looked and I thought, you know, and so I called my project the Gospel Road System, and the idea was this. In Alaska, two-thirds of Alaska you have no access to unless you what? Hop on a plane, fly somewhere, and then when you land, you take a snow machine or a boat to a remote villages because they're off the road system. And so two-thirds of Alaska is off the road system, but the reality is two-thirds of the churches in America have no road system to their culture. That if they shut the doors on their building, no one would know except for the people that attend that church. Because that church isn't, I'm not going to say valuable in that community. That church doesn't, they lack traction making cultural impact in their communities. They don't have a John the Baptist building roads and erecting bridges to prepare a way for who? Jesus, who's coming after them. So here's a picture. In the center, you have the church, and that's the church culture. There was a day in America, then guess what? People just came to church because it was come see what's going on. We got a concert. We're offering pizza in the youth group, so come on out. When I go home and I talk to my parents, they go, I don't know what's wrong with these young people. They don't think right. No, Dad, they didn't grow up in a Christian culture. They're over here in our current times, in our current culture, and they don't think like the church thinks. In fact, they're not even removed from the church. They're removed from biblical Christianity, which is way over here. See, if this is the church culture, there's a river over here. We have to build a bridge to get to a culture to understand what does the Bible say? How many of you know when you read the Bible, you have to ask yourself, how did the original audience understand this text? And how do I apply this to my life today? So how do I understand the Bible? And then I got to unpack that, bring it over here, and apply it to our church. But guess what? There's another bridge that now we're disconnected with, and that's people far from God. And so we need John the Baptist who will erect bridges to people that are far from, not just far from church, they're far from God. Road bridge, bridge builders are people who go, how do we make sure we connect people far from God, not just to a church, but to the God of the Bible? How do we make sure they have a relationship with the good news, whose name is Jesus Christ? We're John the Baptists. That's why we talk about influence, because friends, look at me. We're one generation from extinction if we don't reproduce Jesus in us in the next generation. And so part of our call, not just are we sent, but we are sent to build bridges, establish roads so God can go into, how many guys believe God can change any culture, God can change any life, and God can change any human being? Amen. Guess what? Then God is calling us to erect some bridges and erect some roads and build some paths to connect people to Jesus. And there's two bridges we need. There's two cultural rivers that are completely different. Biblical culture from our current culture. And then there's the church kind of in the middle. And we're sitting here brokering. And here's the reality. Some churches are really good at building this bridge. And we have really deep believers that want deep, deep, deep teaching, deep whatever. But we're not very good at connecting biblical Christianity to a culture far from God over here. Part of our goal. That's why at True North we say this all the time. We'll do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. We'll do what no one's doing to reach people that no one's reaching. We want to reach people far from God. So we're sent ones, like John the Baptist. We're called to build bridges and roads to people. And thirdly, like John the Baptist, we're called to remove barriers that stand between people and them seeing Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, it goes on. And again, that first word for prepare was to erect bridges, erect roads, or establish and build. It says, he's a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. And this word prepare here is a different, entirely different Greek word. It carries with the idea of one, it's drawn from an Oriental custom. It would be like, have you guys ever watched like a movie where the president's gonna arrive and so they send out the CIA and they send out the Secret Service to scope the land and see where would the sniper actually erect, if he was gonna try to assassinate the president, where they're gonna, and so they look around and they send people up to make sure, they make sure everything's safe so the president can come. This word prepare literally carries with the idea. It's drawn from Oriental custom of sending before kings people on their journey to level the road, to make sure it's passable, to make sure there's no obstacles in the way so someone could, you know, come in and do damage or whatever. And it means to prepare, or it also carries with the mind, to prepare the mind of people for the Messiah. Not only do we look to build bridges to people far from God, not only do we erect paths and be forerunners to bring Jesus to people far from God, what do we do to prepare their minds or remove obstacles so they can see Jesus? The very next chapter, in Mark chapter 2, there's one of my favorite stories in the Bible where four friends find out Jesus is in town and there's a healer in the house. And when people found out there was a healer in the house, people showed up. And so many people were there that the four friends went and found their paralyzed friend who'd never walked, who's paralyzed, he's on a mat. And they pick him up on their mat and they go, man, we're gonna get this guy to Jesus. But they can't get the guy to Jesus because there's too many people in the way. They can't see Jesus. Now I read that one of two ways. A lot of people wanted to be there because God was doing cool things. I also read that sometimes there's some people who need Jesus really bad that can't see Jesus because there's too many people in the way. May we not be people in the way. But what happens? They take these four friends, take this man on a mat, they take him up the top of the roof, they cut a hole in the roof, and they lower the man to Jesus. And Jesus says, because of the faith of your friends, you're healed. Well, there's the picture of removing obstacles, removing barriers, making sure there's nothing between Jesus and this person that needs him. That's what we're called to do. Let's remove obstacles. Let's remove barriers. Let's be the people who go, God, let's create a path and begin to open minds for people. My prayer is this, and I can't tell you how to live your life because I can barely change my life. But my prayer is this. My prayer is that I would live my life in such a way that I would not create mental barriers for people around me towards Jesus. Where they go, I don't know if I want Jesus, because if Jesus looks like that guy, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. How are we living our life? Let's remove walls, let's remove roofs, let's build bridges. Now, Jesus was sent. So I thought when I was studying, I thought, what did Jesus, what were some things Jesus looked at as a sent one? And so John chapter 4, it says this, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me. In other words, my desires, my drives, my appetites are fulfilled when I do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. And he goes on. And he's talking to his disciples. He's going, guys, my food, what feeds me, what energizes me, what gets me going in the morning, what gets me going when I have to turn my clock ahead and lose an hour, what gets me going is that I was sent and I want to finish the work of the one who sent me. Don't you have a saying, he goes on, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Jesus says, I want you to open your eyes for a moment. That's sent ones. I'm not asking you right now to write a check for $2,000 to go on a mission trip, although I'd love for you to do that. Jesus says, open your eyes. Just look around. Here's an assignment this week. I'm going to give you an assignment in three areas, three ways to fulfill the mission of God by opening our eyes in these ways. Number one, open your eyes to where they are. Open your eyes to where they are. I shared this story last week in a different gathering. So first gathering and fourth gathering I preached, and I was in College Road. So I didn't share it here. I met a gentleman a couple years ago. He was running for public office. And so he met with me because I'm in his district, wanted my vote. He actually wanted to come to church, and I wouldn't let him come to the church to promote himself. But I could tell he was far from God. His life was different than mine. And I said, bro, can I get your number? I want to just every once in a while see how you're doing. And so I put him on my five friend focus list. I was praying for his name's Kevin. I prayed for him for years. And I'd text him every once in a while, hey, how you doing, Kevin? Doing good. And one day he called me up about 3 or 4 months later and says, can I have lunch with you? I said, sure. And then he called me up and says, actually, Mark, can we just meet in your office? I said, sure. Comes. And he lays it on me that he paid for 11 abortions. And he's like, he weeps in my office for an hour. He said, my problem is I'm a Republican, and it's hard to be a Republican and tell people I'm against abortion when I've paid for it. I feel like a hypocrite. I said, no, you can be forgiven. You can be changed. He wasn't ready to make any prayers. But I continued a friendship with him, and then I invited him to church on Easter, and he goes, well, what's it look like? I've never been to church. So, well, you just drive in. I'll wait in the foyer. I'll wait for you, and I'll save a seat. He says, you'll save a seat for me? I said, yeah, there's often lots in the front row. But this Easter Sunday, he and his wife came, and they sat right here in the front. And as Heidi was leading worship, they were weeping the whole time. And I think we were doing five services that year. I don't know how many I was preaching. And he texts me during one of the gatherings. While I'm preaching, he goes, you need to call me when you're done. I can't tell you what happened, but I'm different. 6 months ago, a year ago now, he called me. And I said, Mark, he says, I got to tell you a story. I said, what? He says, I've been mentoring a former employee who owns a business like I have in the Lower 48. And he said, he called me up and says, I ruined my life. I said, what do you mean? He said, I got my girlfriend pregnant and now I have to pay for an abortion. And he said, no, you don't. He says, do you love her? He goes, I love her a lot. Do you want to be a dad? I've always wanted to be a dad. Does she want to be a mom? She's always wanted to be a mom. Do you want to get married? Yes, I want it. Well, then why are you paying for an abortion, you idiot? Didn't use those words. The rest of the story is they didn't get married. He calls me up and says, Mark, I saved a baby today. But I tell you right now, I probably met with him and texted him and talked with him for a year and a half, 2 years. I knew where he was. He wasn't where I wanted him to be yet. But how many want to know? You know what? Someone doesn't have to go from here to home base and one know where they're at. Open your eyes and see. And go, okay, how do I minister to the person where they are? Not where I hope them to be. Not where they will be, but where are they? Where are they? See, here's the deal. You don't have to be like them. but you have to like them. You don't have to be like them, but you have to like them. I don't like where your lifestyle is. I don't like the decisions you make, but I like you. And I can get past those decisions because I want to build a bridge. I want to be the Jesus with skin on for this person. So number one, you have to know where they are. Number two, open your eyes to who they are. See, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed. And they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Here's the deal, friends. Look at who people really are. Get beyond their dress. Get beyond their socioeconomic status. Get beyond where they wear, what they wear or where they work. Realize that outside of a relationship with Jesus, they're harassed, they're helpless, and they're like a sheep without a shepherd. Look at people spiritually, not just physically. Where are they at? Here's an interesting study for you if you want to do it. Study all the words of the Bible God uses for people far from God that have no relationship with Jesus. Dead, lost, like sheep on the way to slaughter. Open your eyes to who they are. And lastly, open your eyes to what they need. What do they need? There's a guy named Jim, and we asked Jim for permission to share this story. Jim came to church last September. He hasn't even been here a year yet. Jim came to church because his life was turned upside down. He and his wife were walking through a vicious divorce. His life was not the same, but he had a couple friends that came to church. So you know what his friends did? They said, Jim, why don't you come to church with us? They saw what he really needed. And they opened their eyes and saw that his big need is not just to have the marriage thing resolved, although that's important. His biggest need was Jesus. So they brought Jim to church, and Jim realized, oh my goodness, there's someone named Jesus who loves me just the way I am, has a dream for my life and a plan for my life. Jim gave his life to Jesus last September. Jim got water baptized last October. Jim went through Grow Track. Jim went through something we called Alpha, which is a class for questions, and people have all these questions. Jim's questions were answered. Jim got baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by God and the gifts of the Spirit that God has for him. Jim now helps teach Alpha class as a table leader. And I saw Jim last Sunday. He says, Mark, I want you to know, you're talking about how we love people and we're going to be. He says, I walked into a lot of churches in my 50 plus years in Fairbanks, Alaska. But when I walked in here, I realized you guys love people no matter what they're walking through. And I'm just so thankful that Jim had people in his life that saw what he really needed, which was Jesus. Maybe you're here today, and you need Jesus. I often say it this way at True North, if you leave this place and forget who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot. But if you leave this place today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. If you're online and you don't know Jesus, you've lost, and you forget who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot. Who is that guy? Always one of the pastors. It doesn't really matter. But if you leave this place or you're online and you shut this thing off and don't know who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We say it this way at True North all the time. If you're far from Jesus, or you're far from God, or have no relationship with Jesus, it's as easy as A, B, C to begin a relationship with Jesus. A, admit you've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's plan for our life. B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you believe, you know, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Not saved from April 15th and taxes, saved from the sin that separates us from Jesus. If you're here and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, you're watching online, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, I want to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room? Just pray this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus, please forgive me. God, I'm sorry. And God, I confess my sins to you. And your word says you're faithful and just to forgive me. So please forgive me today. And Lord, I confess you as the Lord of my life. I crown you as the king and the life leader of my heart and life in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wanted who to pray for this week. Is there anyone that would say, just maybe wave at me and say, Mark, I prayed that prayer with you today. Anyone here say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else say, Mark, that's me. Thanks, ma'am. Anybody else? Just wave at me and say, that's me. I prayed that prayer today. Like 5 or 6 of you. Wow, thank you. Amen. Lord, I thank you for the hands that were raised, but Lord, I pray they'd take the next step now and they would say, Lord, I want to take the next step with my life and serve you with everything I've got.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.